In 2021, a massive healthcare system serving 7.1 million people realized something pretty wild. To save their most vulnerable patients, they basically had to ban them from the hospital entirely.
I mean, it sounds completely counterintuitive, right?
Right. So welcome to today's deep dive into the Western Cape Government Health Annual Report for 2021 to 2022. Our mission here is to uncover exactly how this system survived.
And adapted, really.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine managing over 10.9 million primary care contacts right through the brutal Delta and Omicron COVID-19 waves.
And looking at the data, it is just astonishing they didn't completely collapse. I mean, the report details this sheer, unimaginable strain on their 33,612 staff members.
That is a massive workforce under, like, constant fire.
It really was. We are talking about severe moral injury and burnout across the board. And tragically, they lost over 200 of their own team members during those waves.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's unpack this, because you can't just expect clinical staff to absorb that kind of trauma and keep working.
No, you really can't.
The report mentions they implemented these intentional grieving sessions. How does a giant bureaucracy actually do that in the middle of a crisis?
Well, they essentially had to just pause the machine. Instead of just handing out a standard mental health helpline number, hospitals actually brought in dedicated facilitators.
Like for on-the-clock group therapy.
Exactly. They created real physical and temporal spaces for doctors and nurses to process the massive grief they were seeing daily, rather than just telling them to push through it.
I think you could compare the healthcare workers to a seawall taking just relentless poundings from a storm. They were taking all the damage.
That is a really good way to look at it. And what finally stabilized things, what saved that seawall, was the vaccine rollout. They administered over 5 million doses.
Which is a huge logistical feat on its own.
Oh, absolutely. And by the fourth wave, we see this definitive, massive victory in the data, the uncoupling of COVID-19 deaths from infection rates.
So the vaccine acted as a breakwater, basically absorbing the energy of the fourth wave before it could cause mass fatalities.
Exactly. Cases still spiked with Omicron, but because the vaccines primed everyone's immune response, severe illness just plummeted.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because the vaccines bought them time, but the physical facilities were still totally overwhelmed. Right?
Yeah, there were still no empty beds.
Right, so they had to invent new ways to keep non-COVID patients out of the hospitals. They launched this vector telemedicine project and set up 247 e-lockers for medication collection.
Which is a huge shift.
It was. But I have to push back here. Does pushing patients to e-lockers and phone calls actually improve the human experience of healthcare? Or is it just a desperate triage tactic to keep people out of the waiting rooms?
Well, I mean, you're right. It absolutely started as desperate triage. Doctors hated losing that face-to-face contact.
I can imagine.
But as the year went on, the data showed this bizarre silver lining. Compliance rates for chronic medications actually went up.
Wait, really? People taking their meds more.
Yeah. Vector functioned as this virtual triage system. Doctors could assess patients over the phone. And if a patient was stable, they didn't have to risk going into an infectious clinic.
That makes total sense.
Plus, they delivered nearly 3 million chronic medicine parcels directly to homes. They partnered with community workers for that. It turns out, grabbing your meds from an e-locker is infinitely easier than taking an entire day off work.
So it was basically a patient-centric upgrade, completely disguised as triage.
Totally. And it wasn't just low-tech stuff, either. Grootschuur Hospital actually acquired this cutting-edge Da Vinci Xi surgical robot to help tackle a backlog of 10,000 surgical cases.
10,000? That is an insane backlog.
Right. But the robot performs highly complex, minimally invasive procedures. The incisions are smaller, so patient recovery time is basically cut in half.
Which frees up the hospital beds drastically faster. Okay, so what does this all mean? We have home deliveries working, robots doing surgery.
It sounds like a total success story.
It does, but it's kind of like successfully putting out a raging house fire, only to realize the water damage to the foundation is going to take years to repair.
Oh man, that is spot on. The data absolutely shows that collateral damage. Because they had to de-escalate routine services, these hidden vulnerabilities grew in the broader population.
Like what kind of vulnerabilities?
Well, when lockdown restrictions finally eased and schools reopened, the system was hit by sudden, severe surges in pediatric diarrhea and pneumonia.
Oh, wow. Why those specific illnesses?
Because while the hospitals were completely focused on COVID, routine childhood immunizations dropped significantly. Plus, the pandemic-induced socioeconomic decline interrupted critical school nutrition programs.
So the kids were already weakened.
Exactly. The poorest communities were hit hardest. Children whose immune systems missed out on standard protections bore the absolute brunt of it.
That is a really heavy reality. But it seems they are applying these hard lessons now. The report outlines this new strategy they call resurgence, recovery, and reset.
Yeah, they are finally transitioning from sheer survival mode to building a much more resilient system.
Which leaves you with something pretty fascinating to think about. If a devastating pandemic was required to force a traditional healthcare system to adopt telemedicine and home deliveries overnight, what other stagnant systems in your own life are just waiting for a massive disruption to finally modernize?
Yeah.